Hey, Green Future Growers and Progressive Radio Network listeners. This is Jackie Marie Beyer, your host for the Organic Gardener Podcast. And I just want to say thanks so much for listening. I hope you subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, podcast app. And if you haven't been to our website, I hope you'll check out the organicgardenerpodcast.com. If you go there, you can download our 7 awesome ways to save time in the garden. You can also find a link to free garden course where you can learn how to grow a garden if you're a new gardener, or how to expand into market farming if you want to learn how to expand your mini farm, etc. And just there's a little bit of something there for everyone. And also, you know, check out the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper and the 2018 Garden Goals Challenge. You can listen to all in one episode. So thanks again for listening, and let's get growing.
The Organic Gardener Podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, gardeners, healthy eaters, strength trainers, and green future growers just like you get lower rates on their life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OGP or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent to save up to 33% on your life insurance. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast this morning. I am super excited to introduce another forward-thinking, entrepreneurial visionary who is here to tell us about a problem I'm sure you have or have had or know somebody who's had, and her organic solution. So from the Brown Bread Mozzie Organic Mosquito Killer Kit Company or whatever is Brandy Stupica. So welcome to the show, Brandy.
Thank you. It's very nice to hear all those flattering words.
Well, we're excited to hear you because, you know, mosquitoes, I mean, in Africa, they can be deadly. So, you know, this is like a pretty serious issue that you've solved here. And I was reading about it and it sounds like kind of simple, but not, you know, and like good for you for, you know, putting it together in this, you know, way to help listeners. So, before we even, and I can edit this out, but are you a millennial? Because I always rave about millennials. So, and bonus, another rock star millennial. So, well, go ahead and tell listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Well, since you mentioned me being a millennial, we all have side hustles. So my daytime gig is a developmental psychologist, which is why I live in Alma, Michigan. Most people ask me why I would do that. There's a college here and I got a great job here and I teach developmental psychology. But I have just enough free time to start this side business of the organic mosquito control. And I have kids and, you know, I don't want anyone else's kids to be in danger. So I was just looking for something to help us all not have as many mosquito bites.
Okay. So I usually do start off the show asking about your very first gardening experience. Like, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Uh-huh. Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Ohio, central Ohio, and my first gardening experience, I was a child who thought she was an adult. So I was a teenager and I was in FFA and we have to do, a project. So I chose tomato gardening. So my dad tilled up, God, it had to have been a quarter acre of our yard in town. And I planted like 32 tomato plants. Whoa. And let them all die.
How did they die? Like on purpose? Like that was part of your project or like it was an accident?
I don't want to give myself the credit of saying it was an accident. I just didn't water them.
Well, I totally understand that. Like if it wasn't for Mike, everything would die for me. Cause there are like days in the middle of the summer, especially, or when I'm teaching, where I won't see the garden for 5 days. Like it just happened. Well, especially when I'm teaching, cause I live on the other side of the mountain. So I'm not even home for 5 days, but I can be here and still not see the garden for 5 days. Like I just get busy like that. So I can see, I mean, I know you got to make time to water things, but so just for our listeners really quick, do you want to tell them, is FFA Future Farmers of America or something? I forget what that is.
It used to stand for Future Farmers of America, and I don't know what the current situation of that is, but I know we were told many times when I was in FFA that it does not stand for that anymore. They were working on a new thing because it encompasses more than just farming. It
it's kind of like 4-H or like Girl Scouts or something, but for like
agriculture. Yeah, but you get class. Yeah, you get class credit for it, and I learned how to weld. It was very cool. I learned how to raise rabbits. I learned about food science. So that was something that was new and cool. And then there was the you have to water tomato plants situation that I learned on my own.
So, like, it's like a class, you take it in high school?
I took it all 4 years, yeah. And I lived in town, so that was interesting. It was just kind of a thing. I lived in rural Ohio, so everybody just kind of took the class, and I took it, too. It was worthwhile. I would say it started my interest in gardening, or at least, like, really understanding where my food came from.
I guess I grew up outside of New York City, so we didn't have, or who knows, it could be there, and I don't know about it, but I don't remember, and I certainly wasn't interested in gardening back then, so.
I don't think all schools offer it.
They do?
I don't think all schools do.
Oh, okay. So then, tell us about the, like, so I was reading on the thing where the brown bread, I was thinking it's called the brown bread mozzie because there's brown bread in the bottom, but that's not what it means. So do you want to tell people, like, where did the name come from? And then tell us, like, how it works and about your great invention here.
Great. Okay. So, yes, I would love to do that. So I always try to be cute and funny, and I was trying to think of a cute, funny name for this new product that I was coming up with. And brown bread means dead in Cockney slang. So like if you're in a certain part of London, brown bread means dead. And mozzie is also Cockney slang and Australian slang. I actually get a lot of people from Australia who, when they're Googling, they type in mozzie and I come up, which is funny. Mozzie means mosquito to them, so they just call them mozzies. So it just means dead mosquito. And this came about, there's this product, it's a BTI, and you can look up the name of it, but it's a bacteria, and it's just in the ground everywhere. It was found in Israel initially in some gutters or like ditches that had runoff for water, and they isolated this bacteria, and then it ended up being all over the world. But this bacteria, when it's in the water where the mosquito lay their eggs, the eggs will ingest the bacteria, and it will make their guts explode and they die. So they never actually get to the stage of being able to bite you, which is amazing. So usually people use it when you already have standing water, and everybody knows that when you have standing water, you're going to have more mosquitoes, but sometimes you can't get rid of the standing water because you don't want to. It's like a pond or it's
feeding bath. Your animals.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have horses or something like that, it's nobody wants to go out there and empty out their 100-gallon water trough every day. So you can sprinkle this into the water troughs. You can sprinkle it into your ponds. You can sprinkle it into your bird bath. But my husband and I were thinking, well, why don't you just make standing water? Because I thought it would be nice if we had a pond. Yeah, I could get rid of the mosquitoes in there, and then maybe they'd be attracted to that, and we would have fewer mosquitoes, ironically, even though we had standing water. So then he was like, well, you can make standing water. You just put water in buckets, because every summer I complain about how many mosquito bites there are, and I force him to go hunting for standing water. So we just started putting it in garbage buckets that we had around, because when you're gardening, you always have like a billion buckets. We just put them out.
I'm so glad you said that, because I get so frustrated. I'm like, I cannot take a picture in our garden without there being one of those red Folgers coffee cans there. But you use them for everything, for hauling weeds, for feeding the chickens, for like, it just seems like they're everywhere.
Yep, they're everywhere. So we put this little kit together ourselves in our yard, put the BTI in the water and changed it out every couple of weeks. And I didn't have any mosquito bites that summer. And I was pregnant too. So I was attracting I had mosquito bites when I left the house,
Right. But you weren't getting them at home.
Yeah, I was not getting them at home. And in Michigan, so what's funny is you think that the farther north you live, the less the problems would be. But it's actually, yeah, Alaska has them.
That's what I was just going to say. And they're like huge up there, I've always heard, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're just, they're really, really big. And it's really just about the amount of breeding ground that you have. So the more buckets we had out, the better. So then the next summer, I just sort of rolled out this company where I provided the buckets. I changed it recently. Now you can just buy the bits because it turns out the only people who really kind of understand and want this product are people like me who have the bajillion buckets. Well, they don't need me to give them the buckets. They just want me to give them the bits.
And then that probably like reduces the cost of shipping.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because the cost of shipping is really, it's $20. If I send you buckets, it's $6. If I send you bits.
Nice. Okay. So then what else can we ask about this? And so it also gets rid of a couple of other nasty things that you have around, right? Like black fly or?
Yeah. So black fly larva, same thing. They will ingest it and then they will die. And ground gnats. I've had a lot of questions about ground gnats. So if you are seeing, you know how they have that swarm that's sort of over your ground and you walk into it and you feel like you just need to take a shower immediately because they're in your mouth and all over you.
Mm-hmm.
You just sprinkle it on the ground there where they're living. They're eating the fungus that lives in your grass and dirt there. So sprinkle it in there. They'll lay their eggs. You might even want to give them a little bit more water too, just to sort of like encourage them to live there and die.
Okay. And I heard like when you were on that interview with Mike Podsney, he was asking that he knew his listeners were going to say, but what about the beneficial insects? But it doesn't harm them. Like, and this is like a pretty regular organic solution. Like it's OMRI. I think I've seen it, that BT approved by them before, right? I guess I shouldn't say that without looking it up.
It's approved for organic gardening use.
Yeah.
So it doesn't harm the beneficial insects. And in fact, so some people have asked me, well, like, what if everybody used this and we got rid of all the mosquitoes? There is a pretty good argument that indicates that if we got rid of the mosquito population all over the world, like literally nothing would happen. The world ecology would recover pretty quickly from that situation. There aren't enough animals that need mosquitoes to survive for us to worry about that. So I'm kind of all for just really slaughtering all of them.
But that's probably not going to happen anyway, right? Like
no,
I was reading out, you were like, if everybody bought one of my kits, you know, that's just not very likely to happen anyway.
Right.
And mosquitoes, like, I mean, isn't there that virus that they can give people? Like
there's a couple. There's dengue fever. There's malaria. Zika thing that was last year. Zika's still around. It's been around for a while. I think it'll be some time before we don't have to worry about that. And what concerns me as a developmental psychologist is we're not really even sure about the long-term consequences of that. So we know the immediate bad effects of being exposed to Zika when you're in utero, but we don't know what happens long-term. There could be these subtle differences that happen later on that you're not picking up right after birth.
And that'd be like if somebody got stung when they were pregnant?
Yeah, so there are some things that take the incubation period for the outcomes to become evident. It can be decades, so it could be something like some sort of neurodegenerative disease when you get into middle age or old age that you're more likely to have because you were exposed to Zika in utero when you were a fetus.
Wow. You know, I want to say I went to high school with a girl who had like the weirdest thing happen. Like she got stung by a mosquito when she had chicken pox or something. And it made the chicken pox completely like, oh, it was horrible. She went through like real intensive pain trying to get rid of those marks from the chicken pox. Like it was really harsh.
That's awful.
Yeah. It was really weird. It was just like this fluke thing, you know? Anyway, so what else can you tell us about it? So they get like, so now they just get a little block of the BT from you and they put it in it. Is that enough for one bucket or a few buckets? And they're like 5 gallon buckets, right? And you put that in there and some
1 gallon buckets. If you want the buckets, if you want the whole kit, the buckets are 1 gallon and you just take one scoop, which is about a tablespoon, and you put it in the bottom of the bucket, fill the bucket about halfway, leave it there. You can dump it out into your grass every month and refill it with new bits. After about a month, the bacteria start to die and they become less effective. And you want to keep baiting the mosquitoes into your yard and keep that up. I had this funny thing happen. I came back from overseas and we had had a lot of rain here and we left one of our buckets in our yard and our neighbor very helpfully turned all of ours over for us. So I came back to a yard full of mosquitoes because all of our traps had been turned upside down. So it was a nice natural intervention to realize how effective it was, because we didn't have any mosquitoes in our yard when we left and everyone else was sort of swatting them away, and we came back and it was like living in the jungle almost, or what I would imagine the jungle being like. But here's the great thing that things that I think that your viewers should know. I mean, you shouldn't eat it because it's a bacteria. That's just common sense. Like, don't sit around and eat it like with milk or anything, like cereal. But if you get exposed to it, you're immune to it. Your body cannot, you don't even have the receptors in your body for it to affect you. It just comes right back out the way that it came in, and nothing will happen to you. Really, the only thing that you have to worry about is the carrier that it's on, which is an organic material in and of itself. So if you happen to be allergic to whatever it's made out of, whatever plant material it's made out of, that's the problem. So if your kids get into the buckets and like, you know, put their hands in their mouths, that's not a big deal. I mean, wash them because the buckets are nasty. You're baiting mosquitoes with dirty water. If your dog drinks out of it, no big deal. If your cat drinks out of it, that's not a big deal. And like I said before, you can sprinkle it in your troughs on your farm. So that's another place where standing water can really start. So if you go out and you want to tend to your animals and you're getting bit up by mosquitoes, sprinkle some of this into your troughs and you're going to reduce the mosquito population pretty dramatically. Same with chickens. It doesn't affect the birds. It doesn't affect the worms. I can't be more happy with it, really. I mean, it's just a bacteria that you're already exposed to and does nothing to you, but it just really kills everything that you don't like.
Nice. And I would think like your horses and your animals would appreciate it. You know how they're always swatting, you know, when the horses have to have those things to keep the flies off their eyes and just, I would think in some ways. Now, bats are what eat mosquitoes, right? Like people always say it's good to have bats around, but they probably, it's not going to hurt them.
It won't hurt them. And, bats don't really fly low enough. So I also hate bats because they scare the bejesus out of me. But what's funny about bats is they eat larger insects that fly higher. They don't swoop down enough to really eat the mosquitoes. So yes, it won't hurt them. And also bats aren't doing a very good job of helping you with your mosquito problem.
Oh, okay. Good to know. All right. Well, anything else that we're forgetting you want to talk? You know what I always like and my listeners are curious about, because I do kind of have an audience that's interested in like entrepreneurial, like what about marketing, or, you know, like, did you have to get a patent, or like, what about the business end of it? Like, what was that like?
Oh, so it is confusing and it's hard. But what I've learned is that it's okay for it to be hard. You just have to recognize it and go forward anyway. And it's weird and it's awkward and you have to put yourself out there in ways that you just don't feel comfortable. Marketing is tricky. I'm still learning marketing. I don't have any great words of wisdom. Currently, my mentor on business and things like that, my inspiration, is Tim Ferriss. You know, he wrote The 4-Hour Work Week and has a podcast that I listen to So that, you know, that's where I would say check into him. He's a pretty smart and blunt person.
Yeah. I read the 4-Hour Work Week a couple of times. I think that's a great book and have certainly listened to his podcast, but I'm so busy. I can barely listen to any podcast anymore. Mm-hmm. One you might want to check out is John Lee Dumas's Entrepreneur on Fire. But the big one that, like, I don't understand why he doesn't promote it more, but his girlfriend, Kate, writes their blog, and she has like the audio blog called Kate's Take, and she really talks about developing an online business, you know, whereas his show's, well, and his show is all about entrepreneurial. I don't know why, but there's two good podcasts you might want to check out there too.
Ooh, thanks for the tip.
And then who's the other one? Amy Porterfield. I just started listening to her again. What's hers called? Online Marketing Made Easy or something. She's really mm-hmm. into teaching about social media. Yeah. But yeah, I love Tim Ferriss. And for listeners, like, Tim Ferriss's goal is not really that you work 4 hours a week, but it's that you find your passion and that your work and your life is kind of intertwined so that you are happier in your life. And I mean, I guess he has some things there that teach you how to simplify. He's really into lifestyle design and not like working some corporate job your whole life until you can retire in your old age, and like putting in little lifestyle things like during every year so that you're, you know, working and then enjoying your vacations and just, anyway, that's the takeaways I got from his book.
Yeah. The mini retirements.
Yeah. So, and just like living the life that you want to live now instead of waiting until old age. And then he's like really into like some extreme like learning. Like he's really big on like learning a major skill in like 6 months. And he's like some super smart, you know, like genius IQ and really physical, like into like hardcore challenges. But I loved his challenges in the 4-Hour Work Week at the beginning of the book. He's got those little challenges to get out there. And I actually found this really cool friend in France, and I was so bummed when I went to Paris and I didn't get to go see her through the 4-Hour Work Week, because I like looked up the challenges and I'm like, somebody must have done this on YouTube. There's got to be a video. And she was really the only one I could find. And she was in, I want to say she was in London at the time, and she would do the challenges and videotape herself. And it was so cool. And it's just a great way to meet friends. I guess I haven't read that book since like 2015 when I first started my podcast. So, but yeah, good book there.
Before we get to the root of things, let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. The Organic Gardener podcast is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, gardeners, healthy eaters, vegetarians, and green future growers just like you get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/OGP to support the show and see if you qualify. Over half of Health IQ customers save between 4 to 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ customers because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, just like you, green future growers. Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/OGP. Or mention the promo code OGP when you talk to a Health IQ agent. FreeGardenCourse.com. Mike and I have developed some lessons to help you create your very own organic oasis. We'll guide you through the steps to build your perfect natural landscape, an edible earth-friendly yard, a sustainable deep-bed garden, or even start a small profitable market farm. We'll show you how to save time, lower your produce bill, collect usable data, eat healthy, nutritious food with minimal labor, use the most effective and efficient production methods currently being used in backyard gardens as well as market farms, and maybe even help you find some profitable markets. We've designed it to save you time, lower your produce bill, and help you eat healthy, nutritious food. There's checklists, there's outside reading, video assignments. You can join the online Facebook community where there's lots of people from around the world to help you get your garden started today. So remember, freegardencourse.com.
And now let's get to the root of things.
Well, how about should we do some of like the regular garden questions? Like, how did learn how to garden organically?
At first, it was really just a matter of putting plants in a, when I lived in apartments, we just put plants in planters and watered them and hoped for the best. And I'm sure you know this, tomatoes always produce if you water them. So that was nice. And there's just, once you have a tomato from your own garden, you cannot go back to other people's disgusting, flavorless, mealy tomatoes from the grocery store. So we started there. And then once you get good at tomatoes, you have so many tomatoes, you don't know what to do with it. So you have to learn how to can or come up with lots of tomato recipes. So we started the tomato recipes first. So I always have this really delicious, it's so simple, but I love it so much. It's just tomatoes and a good balsamic vinegar and a little olive oil. And, you know, if I have basil, that I put basil in there. Sometimes I have oregano. The oregano seems to grow a little bit better in my garden here.
Me too.
Yeah. Or you can do a little cilantro. Cilantro is amazing in Michigan, which was unexpected to me. And then I learned how to can because, my husband likes spending zero money on anything. So I have to get by on figuring out how to do things. So I had collected enough, ball jars and, started canning those for free. And then he really liked having those because, when you go to the grocery store, and you try to get in a glass jar canned tomatoes, they're like $8.
I hear you. Everything is super expensive these days. Although I think finally something has happened. And like in 2018, the price of food is going to finally drop a little. Like I went to the grocery store the other day and I could just feel the stress relief because the sales were so good on my back when I pay for my groceries. And I'm looking at the guy thinking he's going to tell me I've spent well over $100 for my two grocery bags full of food. And it was only $75. And I just couldn't believe like it made me realize how much we have been paying for food lately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I tell listeners all the time, like Mike grows he cans pickled beets. And like in the winter, mm-hmm. I put pickled beets on my salads instead of tomatoes because a tomato from the store just doesn't cut it.
Mm-mm.
So
my goal here is to do, you've probably heard this before, it's possible, they say, to grow 90% of your own produce. That's my goal. We haven't really gotten very close to that. I think I'm going to need to set up a bit of a greenhouse situation here in northern Michigan.
We're working on that too, expanding our season and getting, and that's like Mike's goal is to grow as much of our produce as we can. And then we're trying to like kind of break into the market farmer thing. He built this thing I call the mini farm, but it's a big learning curve from going like, but last year, even in the mini farm, when he really focused on it, I think he grew like 10 times as much produce as he's ever produced before. And then this year we're really going to try to go bigger. And just, but it's a huge curve, but yeah. And I did an interview with this woman, Jess Pierce, who, worked at the Jacob Jevons Center. And he talks about growing, like 90% of your own produce in a very small space. And one of the big secrets he talks about is growing, you know, like green manures and bulk manures for your soil. Like 65%, I think, of what they grow is actually growing to feed their soil. And then they talk about, you know, your crops that you grow that really produce nutritious food. Like I think they talk about growing 90% of like your food, not even just your produce, but like generally your food, like your wheats, your grains, they're growing like almost everything. So you really just like are limited to like if you're gonna like eat meat and stuff like that and probably oil and coffee and like, you know, your, but they really, his book, and I've been looking for his book all winter. I'm like, I know I bought it. I know it's here somewhere and I just can't put my hands on it. But yeah, his book would be a good book to look up. So tell us about something that grew well this year. Like, did you have a, like last summer?
You know what really grew well? So I was on maternity leave. I had, so she's a year old now. So she was 6 months in the summer. So we don't get out a lot when you have a 6 month old who won't stop nursing. So we kind of neglected the garden a little bit. And what really thrived was the asparagus. Finally, we planted it when we moved here about 5 years ago and it grew taller than us. It was incredible. So much so that I feel like I want to put in a couple more beds. So we have an 18 square foot bed of asparagus and we sort of try to make it more dense to get more out of the area that we have. We probably had 7 or 8 meals of asparagus for the 3 people who were eating vegetables at the time. And that it really thrived on us just really not doing anything to it. I loved that. And the cucumbers have always been pretty good too.
Cool. That's so interesting. Cause I was just talking about asparagus yesterday. I did a Facebook Live and Mike had built a new deep bed that we were going to put our raspberries in. And I said, maybe we should put the asparagus in there. Cause I bought him like a pound of asparagus seed and it's still like sitting somewhere. Because I love asparagus and I would love to grow asparagus. And then the other thing about asparagus, like this one girl I talked to, Sarah Hardy, when she spoke to her farmer's market and was trying to break into the farmer's market, they told her, grow asparagus. You could sell every spear of asparagus you can grow. Now, the thing with asparagus, listeners, if you don't know, it takes like, I don't know, is it 2 or 3 years between when you put the seed in the ground and you actually get your first crop. Mm-hmm. But then it's in and then it will keep growing, right? And expanding. Yeah. And if you let those spears, and they're so cool, like you'll see an itty bitty thing pop out of the ground and then like mm-hmm. the next day there's the stalk and then you got to catch it right away. But they hardly ever make it up to the house to get cooked. Like when those fresh asparagus spears, like we've put them in a couple of times and we don't have a lot. I think a lot of our problem is our water situation. Even though they come up in the spring and it seems like there should be enough, I feel like there's some reason they have not done well in the places we've put them. But they are so fresh. I just eat them just right then and there. I do too.
Yeah, I'll just pick them out of the... You're right. Half of it doesn't make it to the house because I've eaten half of it on the way in.
Yeah, they are a fresh asparagus just right out of the ground. It's so tender and delicious and the flavor is nothing compared to what you'd eat in the store.
Yeah.
So, well, how about, is there something you're excited to do different next year or something that you want to try new that you haven't done before?
What? Oh, strawberries. We haven't really gotten any strawberries in yet. So now that I know that the asparagus is great because it just keeps propagating and coming back, I'm really excited for strawberries because obviously I love strawberries. Who wouldn't like a strawberry? And I've got this cool spot in my yard that it's sloped really, really deeply, but I'm going to put in some steps and plant them sort of like in the steps. So it'll be sort of like a retaining wall, but a strawberry producing retaining wall, and it's south facing. So it should be nice and sunny for it.
Nice. And my kid
loves strawberries. He's been talking about us. Oh, Mom, I can't wait until we plant strawberries. He loves going out there and foraging.
I was asking Mike, how come we don't have strawberries? And he said, it's because the birds always get them, but I really want to put strawberries in. And I heard the funniest fact on the Big Bang last night, Sheldon was telling Penny, even though a strawberry is technically not a fruit. So what is a strawberry if it's not a fruit? Does that mean it has to be a vegetable? Or I'm going to have to look that up. But I love strawberries too. Well, I thought it was funny because like at the, they have like a salad bar at where I work, a fruit and salad bar. And like, I never realized it, but strawberries must be like one of my favorite fruits because I always pick the strawberries. So, or whatever it is, if it's not a fruit. But cool. How about something that didn't work so well this season? Was there something that didn't turn out the way you thought it was gonna?
Yeah, my husband had been reading a lot about square foot gardening where you mix your plants. It didn't work the way that I had hoped. It's supposed to increase yield. And I feel like we got about 10% of what we usually get out of it. Now, I did mention that we had a kid, so I don't know if that was part of it. But also, I just hated going into the garden. It felt so disorganized to me. So then I realized, like, I really like to have my plants, like, here's my asparagus, here's my cucumbers, here's my, you know, this type of tomato, here are my little cherry tomatoes, this is my lettuce bed, and this is where we're trying to grow melons that never get big enough.
So I might just send you some melon seeds. We got some cool melon seeds from Seeds Trust that are like, I think they originally started in Siberia and they're really acclimated to a northern temperature. It might save some seeds. So maybe I'll get you some melon seeds in the mail and see if that'll help. Like, they're really tiny. They're really cute. They're like the size of like a baseball or a softball, but they were good and they grew and they made it to maturity here in Montana. So
they must work here then. Yeah. Let me give them a try. Cause I just have had the worst time trying to find any type of melon that'll work here.
Yeah. Do you have like a least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something that you have to kind of force yourself to get out there and do?
Harvest? That sounds weird, but yeah, harvesting. I really just, I don't know why, I just don't like doing it. I like looking at the things on the vines, I think.
I totally agree. I think harvesting, it's hard work. You got to go do it like at a certain time, everything's ready. So it's like really takes longer than you expect. And like, for me, like if it wasn't for Mike, like my garden would be like a little kitchen salad garden where I just went down there and grab like, you know, whatever I'm eating for right then. Like, I don't like to have to go harvest like baskets of bush beans or, and you're bending over and you're constantly like grabbing them and grabbing them and grabbing them. I mean, I'm just being a whiner, but no, I can totally relate. And then I really like the one thing that helps with harvest is like when you have deep beds and you can sit on the edge of the bed, like in Mike's new mini farm, you're bending over, you're not sitting in that bed. So I can totally relate. How about your favorite activity to do in the garden on the flip side? What do you love to do down there?
I really like to weed.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I think I know why, because weeding to me is like erasing the chalkboard, and like after you're done, everything's neat, and you sound like a very organized person who likes to see everything neat, and I think you get a great satisfaction when your beds are cleaned up after you're done.
Yeah.
What's the best gardening advice you've ever received, or business advice, or, you know?
You know, I really have enjoyed saving our eggshells. We've had a lot of problems with our tomatoes getting that, like a black hard spot on the bottom of them because there's not enough calcium. So we started saving our eggshells and putting those directly into the soil, and that's helped a lot. And the tomatoes have been much tastier as well.
All right. That's a good trick. Mike does that too. But I didn't realize it was because of that black spot or because of the calcium. Do you wash them? Like, he washes them and then kind of crushes them up in a paper bag and puts them in the hole before the tomato. Is that how you do it? Or do you just put the eggshells around it? Or
We crush them up. So my son and my husband, they do it kind of like squeezing grapes for wine.
Yeah.
So he'll let him sort of squish them with his feet and then he just puts them in. We don't wash them. I'm not really all that germophobic or anything like that.
I don't know why he, I mean, I think he must have read somewhere that he was supposed to wash them or something. How about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
I really like our tiller. I think I would keep that one. Everything else you can kind of do with your hands.
Cool. How is it, like, you mean like a rototiller?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a power tool.
Okay. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden? Is that tomato with basil recipe, or is there a different one?
It's that one, or when our tomatoes and our cucumbers and our oregano all come in, I love to make myself a Greek salad.
Mm. How about a favorite internet resource? Is there somewhere you like to go on the web?
Yeah. Here, as much as, so I'm from Ohio and I hate to admit this, but I love using Michigan State University's website. They have a lot of resources that are helpful for living in a northern climate on what grows well, how to take care of it. They have like handy little PDFs that are easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. Is that like the extension or just Michigan University?
Well, we have University of Michigan, not them, but that's not the one that has it. It's the Michigan State University. So they're the agricultural university here.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Something else.
How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or a blog or something that you can recommend to listeners?
You know what started me on really trying to amp up my gardening was the Gardening Guy podcast.
Oh, I don't know if I've heard that.
He has a lot of, he answers questions and things like that. But also, I love watching P. Allen Smith. Mm-hmm. He's my spirit animal when it comes to what I want my garden to look like.
Oh. Okay, cool. How about, do you have any business advice for listeners on how to get started in a business? Like, if you were going to start over from scratch, is there one thing that you would do differently?
Well, I, you know, my advice is you should not be afraid to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's humiliating work and it's humbling. And the first thing that you roll out will be embarrassing. Try as hard as you can not to make it embarrassing. I think that's a natural human tendency, is you don't want to embarrass yourself. So you'll be cautious, but at some point you just need to let it go. And then it is what it is. And you work from there.
Yeah. There's that quote. And I always get the person who said it wrong, but it's like the founder of LinkedIn. And he says, if you're not embarrassed by your first product, you shipped too late.
Yes.
And I know that feeling where you go back and forth between, is this good enough? Am I like, or do I need to get it out there? But in a lot of ways, if you don't get it out there, you're not going to get feedback. And until you get feedback, you don't know what you need to pivot. And like, I just released two products. Like in November, I released a garden journal. And like, so this guy challenged me in September to have a product out for Black Friday. And mm-hmm. So I get the product on Amazon. Like I've been thinking about it for a long time, but I finally get up there. It's this garden journal and I don't have time to proof, like to get a hard copy. Even if they had shipped it to me overnight, it wouldn't have been enough time to get it up there for the Black Friday sale. So I put it up, we get the copy. The first thing I realized the first thing I'm doing is filling in all the days. Like I have like these spaces for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you need to put the dates up there. And I don't know why I thought people would just write the date on the date that they were filling it in. Mm-hmm. But for me, the first thing I did as soon as I got it was went in and wrote 365 days in there. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So right away I went back and I finally fixed that part of it. And so there you go. Our name is not in the cover of the book. Our name's not on it anywhere. And I'm just laughing. My mom's like, are you kidding me? And so the 2018 Garden Journal and Data Keeper, our name is not on the cover of that book anywhere. It's only on the inside by the copyright. So that part's pretty funny. So, you know, it's like, am I embarrassed? And then I came up with this free garden course over Christmas break. Like Mike and I spent like the whole break, literally I did like one day of schoolwork and like just trying to get this. And so it was designed that there would be a new lesson each month. And so I got the first five or six lessons done. Mm-hmm. And so, but I know I'm going to go back in there and want to change things. And I know there's going to be things that are embarrassing that I'm going to find a year from now and be like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? But at some point you have to get it out there and you just have to try things. I mean, and my podcast was kind of like that when I joined Podcasters Paradise, like I wanted to support my art business and like become a children's book illustrator. And I don't know, I just fell into the gardening thing and it's taken off. Like I always like people, John's the guy who started my podcast, his thing is focus, follow one course until success. And this is where I disagree with him because I'm going to write a book someday called Polish Your Shiny Pennies. And like, I think it's good to try different things because you never know, and just, you know, do your best, check different things out. You never know where things are going to take you. Like my podcast has taught me so much about building an audience and, you know, creating an online presence. And someday I'm going to be a children's book illustrator and I'm going to get my books out there. And what I've learned from my podcast has been invaluable. And at the same time, it has taught so many people. I have learned a ton. My listeners have learned a ton. It's because of great guests like you. And I don't know. So I think that's awesome advice. And it is embarrassing and it is humiliating to have your own business. But I do laugh. They always talk about being an entrepreneur is like a roller coaster. And let me tell you, you want a roller coaster? Try teaching. Because being in the classroom, you never know who's going to be coming, going, the kids or the parents or your principal or your coaches, or like, it's just always surprises me. I'm like, seriously? How did this happen to me today? But anyway. Okay. So here's my final question. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, Brandy, what would it be? Like, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about, or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, globally, or on a national scale?
Ooh, that's tough. So I have to pick one thing.
No, you can pick two.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that I think could happen politically. Like, we need to stop relying on cars. We need to have a better public transportation system, all sorts of things. We're going to run out of oil one day, and that's going to be a problem. Fresh water supply is an issue. But, like, what could we do right now immediately? And this could be, you know, most of us individually doing it. Just compost your food garbage. And you don't even have to do anything special. You just, like, dump it into your yard somewhere and leave it there until it rots.
Just make sure the animals don't get into it. But that's so funny, because lesson number one, like, in my free garden course is, like, if you're not composting right now, stop. Go figure out how you're going to start composting. Like, how are you going to keep your food in your house? And then where are you going to put it outside? But because especially for me, like, I'm not really the gardener. My husband's a gardener. But the one thing I do a lot of is composting. Like, I even haul the compost home from school. I keep a compost bucket in my classroom. And, like, one thing we did last year was experimenting with vermiculture with the worms. That's pretty easy to do to figure out. Like, I know it drives me crazy that they don't compost at school. I look at them and I'm like, you're throwing all that good salad bar scraps in the garbage every day. Anyway, well, I love that. How about, do you just have like an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Motivational tip to get them started.
It doesn't have to be fancy.
It's not going to be something that's like quotable that you can put on a t-shirt or anything like that. But there's just so much satisfaction that you get from growing your own food. It's so primal. And so satisfactory to just know that there is some amount of you that is actually capable of feeding yourself without any other intervention source. You can just plant something, minimally take care of it, and feed yourself. It's so great.
That is so true. Like, I have learned, I used to like say I totally had a brown thumb, but I've really been like learning how to plant things. I'm like, so I have to have an apartment on the other side of the mountains where I work. And so I have like a little windowsill garden, and I was amazed at how much lettuce and salad I could grow. Last year I kept like, we grew a salad for my guinea pig. And let me tell you, guinea pigs eat a lot of food for my class pet. And just, you'll be surprised. If I can do it, you can do it. And so, and you're right. It is so satisfying. Like, once you grow something. So tell listeners, how do they connect with you? How do they get one of these? Is it brown bread mozzie mosquito kit?
Yes. So go to the website, brownbreadmozzie.com. If you want a discount, use friend10, all lowercase, friend10. You'll get 10% off. You can connect with us on Twitter at Stuco Inc. We're also on Facebook at Stuco Inc. Or you can email me at info@brownbreadmozzie.com.
Tell people how to spell Stuco. What is it? Stuco Inc.?
Yeah. Stucoinc.
Okay. Cool. Well, is there anything I forgot that you wanted to mention?
No, I think you covered it all.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me on this dark Sunday morning here in Montana. It's probably dark in Michigan too. And just have a wonderful 2018. And thanks for sharing with this with us, because I think listeners are going to say, I got a ton of mosquitoes. If they have a farm and they are holding, you know, where people, you know, like the people who have the CSAs and people come and they, you know, have a farm dinner Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. I'm like, what's that called when people come, you know, they might want to do that when they're having the farm dinner so their guests aren't getting eaten by mosquitoes, or, you know, if you're having a wedding outside, or just, I think this is really important. And, you know, there are some health risks to having mosquitoes. And like you said, it's really nice that it's organic, it's natural, it's not going to hurt the bees or the animals or your kids. And so thanks for inventing this and doing your part. And like I said, another rock star millennial.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
This is Jackie Marie Beyer, and I am just hoping that you're as excited to be learning and gardening this spring as I am. And so I'm really wondering what you're up to this spring. And I am super excited to announce that I am finally going to launch my Facebook group, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So I really want to hear about your journey, and I really hope that you will come there and share your questions, your successes, your challenges, your pictures, your, you know, connect with the other listeners in the audience, and, you know, what's your vision for the future, or what's your vision for your garden, for your organic oasis? You know, do you want, are you planting flowers? What are you doing? You know, what project are you taking on this spring, this summer? You know, I really want to learn, you know, what do you want to know? Is there, you know, what kind of guests do you like? You know, who have you enjoyed? Who would you like to hear more of? You know, what topics are you really enjoying? You know, is it raising honeybees or planting perennials, or, you know, what kind of seeds are you looking for? You know, are they annuals, perennials? You know, what kind of vegetables, what kind of herbs are you planting? What flowers? Do you have any questions that we can answer? You know, what guests have you liked the most? You know, so what, is there something you want me to find out? Like, I'm really going to try to be as active in Facebook, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook page, and the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So, you know, if you're interested in, you know, learning more and reaching out and connecting with other people, you know, especially, you know, the great thing about it is all of a sudden, you know, you might meet three people who are in your area. Just like since I started my podcast, you know, I met Robin Kelson and Laura Behenna. So it was so fun to see them last week. And Pamela Lund, who, if you haven't heard her episode, she's just got a great story. You know, well, Robin's been in the top 10 since she aired. But to meet these, you know, people, and then I went to the Aero Conference and met more people that are living locally near me here in Montana that I never knew till I started my podcast. And so if you join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group, you'll probably meet people in your area. And then maybe I'll be able to find some people from the other states, because I think I'm up to like state 20 or 21 still. So there's still more states that I haven't interviewed people from than states that I have. One of these days I'm going to read that list and try to get some people, some listeners. Listeners always make great guests, I think. You've all got more knowledge than you think to share, and some answer that somebody else has been looking for. So if you want to come on and share your gardening journey, you know, I'm always looking. But today I really want to talk about, you know, join our group. You know, let me know, what can I do for you? Even if you don't want to do the Facebook thing, I totally understand. Or if you have another channel that you like, you know, reach out to me, email me, go to the website. You know, you can connect with me. There's the Get in Touch page. There's a listener survey on there where you can, you know, which basically is just easy questions about, you know, what's your biggest challenge that I can help you with. But just most of all, I hope if you want to, you will come join the Facebook group, connect with me, and just let's change the world together. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow.